This morning, we're going to be looking at a passage, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, or if you need a pen, we've got lovely people, the A-bands here, willing to pass out some pens. I've used them before in Bibles. They won't bite you, so go ahead and grab one if you need one. But we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And, you know, I believe the big idea from this passage here is that it says it right in the very first verse that the believers should pray and never give up. And I believe it's my role here this morning to kind of share with you the importance of that. And there's really three ways to look at that. Is if you don't see the importance of prayer, I want you to see it this morning. If maybe you see the importance of it and you've forgotten about it, I want to remind you of this morning. And I think if those two things right there, if you get that from this passage this morning, if you get it from God's word, I think you will really, really understand the importance of it. And just to really echo how important prayer is, I think it's the single most important thing you can do as a Christian and even as a non-Christian. And you would say prayer. It's the single most important thing you can do as a Christian. Well, let me ask you this. In your relationship at home, with your family, with your spouse, with your brother, sister, in your work relationships, what's the most important thing you can do? I would say it's communication. It's to talk to that person. And so prayer is a communication. And so my job this morning is to remind you that prayer is important. And I'm excited for this opportunity this morning. So if you haven't turned there already, let's go to Luke chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 1. This is God's word. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not give justice. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would stir the hearts of those that are here, that you would stir my heart to speak your truth, that your words would be remembered this morning, that we would all see the significance of this passage, that we would all see how you work through prayer and the importance it plays in our lives. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning, I have a rhetorical question for you, so don't answer it out loud for those of you who don't know what rhetorical is. Can anyone tell me the definition of persistent? When you think of persistent, what do you think of? Well, I always like to look up the Webster Dictionary. I know Jackson says Jackson, whatever. I know you want to answer, but I'm going to tell you, okay? Good job. I like it. Jackson always loves to help me out. So I looked it up in the definition up in the Webster's Dictionary. It says these two things. Being persistent is continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And the second one, continuing to exist or endure over a prolonged period. I'm sure you know of someone who is persistent, but I also think that each of us can show persistence in our lives when the things that we, when they really matter to us. And so this morning, and actually this week, I was thinking of a story. What could I show to everyone here of the importance of being persistent in our prayers, or the importance of being persistent in our lives? And well, God has a very good sense of humor. And so this morning, he gave me a perfect opportunity to talk about that. So I went and put out the signs out like I normally do, and I was going to go fill up the fuel in my wife's car. And so I take it for granted, like I always do, pull up to the gas pump, getting ready, and just, you know, touch the button, and open, you know, the door flap opens, and you get your gas. Well, I go touch the door flap open, and nothing happens. Well, this is silly. Why is it, you know, touch it again. Maybe touch it a little bit more formally. I'm being persistent here and just, you know, really getting aggravated. I'm like looking at the owner's manual. I'm doing everything. And then I start to chuckle in my car. Because here I am. I've gotten one part of being persistent here. One action that I got involved is it's my job to get it done. I got to work at it. I've got to move and do these things and I've got to fix it, right? I've got it. I'm being persistent. And I'm laughing to myself and says, what was the key point of this passage? What was the key point of this parable? It was the prayer aspect of it. And it was really the last thing that I wanted to do. I went to. And I sat down with God in the car because I really had no choice because I've literally done everything at this point that I could. And I said, God, I just need you to open up this door. I can't do it. I need to put gas in this car. I need you to do that. And I had the short 30-second prayer, and I went over there, and I said, God, I know you're not going to do it. I haven't learned my lesson yet. And, of course, I wouldn't do it. And the door didn't open. The flaps didn't open still. So I've got a car out here that needs fuel in it. And I have a job to do, right, in this. I needed to pray to God and say, God, I need your help. I can't fix this. Maybe you'll send me people that can help me with this. Maybe you'll just miraculously do it. I don't know what you're going to do, but I need to trust that you're going to take care of this. And see, it's fairly similar to this widow here. She knew that she needed to talk to the one in this story, the judge, to get this done. And she had to create action. She had to keep asking. She had to keep doing it. And our first point talks about this. We need to pray continually and never give up. And there's a couple of verses that you can go to that also echo this. It says in Colossians 4:2 and similarly in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray continually. Very first verse. And he told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that's key. When we pray and God doesn't answer our prayers in 5 seconds that we did it, what do? We pout about it. We cry about it. We get upset. God, we need this. I need this answer now. How cool would this story have been that I said I tried everything and said that prayer and look, door popped open. That'd be a really cool story, God. Why didn't you do it that way? Well, I don't know yet. I don't know what he's teaching me. But I know from God's word right here in verse 1 that I'm to pray continually and never give up. I should never give up. And the point seems very straightforward, and I've noticed, for the most of us, that we struggle with this. I think we could use some reminding ourselves, because what does praying continually really look like? Are we to be constantly praying every second of our lives in some formal prayer? Oh, Lord! We have to do, you know, we have to say the certain things. What do we need to do? How does it look? Is there some special formula of things we need to say and do? In short, the answer is no. There is no set way that you must pray in every way, and how it looks like for each and every one of you is going to be different. But it's very clear from this parable and throughout God's word that we are to pray, that it is to be a part of our lives. To pray constantly does not mean we are to do something in a specific way and repeating the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a great prayer, and we can utilize that. But that need be the only prayer we do. We don't have to keep our eyes closed the whole time. That can make things difficult. Like if you're driving a car and you want to pray, it'd be pretty dangerous. Don't advise it, right? In other countries, my missionary friends, they pray with their eyes open because if they do it closed, it brings a lot of attention to them. We can pray in different ways, in a small room by ourselves, in groups. There's all things. There is nothing too small or too big that we can't pray about it. So what you say, how you say it, what you're doing while saying it, it matters very little. How do I know that looking at some of these examples of people praying in the Bible, generally, they're just talking to God. When you pray continually, it shows your heart. It shows that you're relying upon God to solve these things. And yes, you take a part, an active role in doing these things. And say, God, I'm going through this door. I think this is the direction you want me to go. And I'm going to trust you in this. And you're going to see where God leads you. And you're going to pray to God. Because why do we pray to God? He is the one that can truly, truly answer our prayers. Truly answer them. God just wants us to communicate and share our thoughts with him. There is no bad time to talk to God. Which leads me to my next point. Praying is perfect for every situation. I want you to look at, write down these two verses here. There's a Matthew 7:11 and a Philippians 4:6. You can look at it later on in this week. But Matthew 7:11 says this, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And Philippians 4:6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God." Have you ever thought, crossed your mind, I probably should have prayed about that. I probably should have went to that first. Is it okay to ask God to do that? I don't want to bother God with my problems. He's a busy guy. I can handle this situation. That is why God gave me a brain, right? I have to do my certain roles. My problems are serious. Are you sure God can handle this? Have you ever said that? I don't need a professional to handle this. I can do it. You can't fool me. Our questions and doubts about prayer are nothing new. Nothing new. God is not surprised by them or appalled at them, but God wants to remind us that there is no situation that is exempt from his prayers. I've heard of pastors praying for parking spots in the rain, right? Okay, yeah, maybe that's a selfish request. Maybe it's a silly one or one that's not that important to some people. But God hears our hearts. God sees us in any request. And what I've realized about this is if we choose to understand that we should always be praying and that there is no situation that is inappropriate to pray. And I've seen that in the men of this church to go, you know what? I don't know what to do here. Wait, you're the leader in this church and you don't know what to do? Yeah, I don't, but God does. And let's pray to him to help us in that situation. That is key to remind ourselves. It helps us to take down our pride and to trust on the one who can truly answer us. And so what I want you to recognize here is that when you pray, it's kind of like this. When you're talking to God, it's kind of like when my daughter wants my attention when she was really little. And so I don't know if you've had a daughter, but maybe you've seen this in a movie, and it's true. It's every daughter does it. When she wants your attention, she might just say, hey, dad, you know, especially when they're really little. And if I don't respond or I don't do anything, at some point, if I'm sitting down especially, she'll crawl up on my lap. She'll grab my face and she'll make me look at her right there. Right. And I've got to look right at her and say, OK, this is important. What do you say? I just wanted to tell you I love you. Thanks, sweetie. That was really nice. Or I just want to say, can you help me with this? Our prayer is much like that to God, right? The difference is God's always paying attention, right? God's always there. God always knows. But when we say, God, I need this, it's like right there. We feel it inside when we truly go to God in prayer. And so I want you to remember that when you don't want to go to God because you go, God, I've screwed up for the 34th time with this, whatever that this is in your life. So God, I don't want to go to him and say, I screwed up again. I lost my temper at work or whatever it is. When you do that, I want you to remember that picture of the little girl grabbing God's face, grabbing my face, right? And just getting that is like your prayer. God's listening and cares and wants to hear it. Even the ones that seem a little silly. Finally, Prayer reveals our motives and our faith. So James 4:3 talks about this a little bit. When you ask and you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I have a confession. Many prayers I have made being a Christian were selfish. One of the most selfish prayers I've ever made that came true was a prayer about a job. I was wanting a job actually in the election field at this time. And I knew I wasn't this person's first choice. I could just tell I wasn't their first choice. And I said, God, I really want this job. I need you to grant me this job. I just want this job. I didn't care about, you know, how I would get the job, but God, just give me the job. And God did give me the job, but what was very interesting, he didn't take away a job from another person. Because that was, you know, the first person was the one that this person was interested in. What God did is he gave that other person an even better job. I didn't care about that other person, right? Because I didn't really know that person. I just knew they were in my way. And I just prayed, God, selfishly, give me that job. I want that job. I deserve that job. And God said, you know what? I hear your prayer. I hear what you want here in this situation. I get it. But I want you to know that I'm going to take care of this going on. So even our selfish prayers, God can utilize. And so prayer reveals our motives and our faith. And I want to look back here at these couple of verses here. Let's look at verse 2 here again. It says, he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. So here's this. There's this widow in this powerless situation, right? A widow is typically poor because she has no one to provide for, kind of left on her own, and she has this judge who has all this power, who won't give her what she wants. In this situation here, you would see, what could she possibly do to change the situation, to change the outcome she's found herself in? And so we see right here, it says, and there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. What I think is important here is, oftentimes when we don't get what we want, what do? We say, I don't want justice in this situation. I want vengeance. I want results, and I will take whatever physical way I need to do it to make sure that this happens. We take things in our own hands. And so this widow said, for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And so here's this. I don't want you to think that this judge is God. Okay? That is not God. What Jesus is talking about in this parable here is, we've got this evil judge here, and this widow is able to overcome this evil judge who cares not about her or about justice or about anything. He gives in. How much more when we're praying to a God who is good and is loving and is amazing and is awesome, how much more will he give to us? That's powerful. That's powerful to talk about prayer. I'll be honest with you, I have struggled with prayer every day of my life. Every day of my life, and I still struggle with it. And so when I got the opportunity to preach on this sermon, I said, thank you, God. Because oftentimes, I think of a prayer as two things. As a way for me to change God's mind about something and me to get what I want. And that's not what prayer's about. It's not what prayer's about. But honestly, that's what I have thought all this time. I think about how selfish and silly and sinful my prayers are. Most of the time I talk to God and I would, as a friend, I try not to play games because I know they are futile. But I revert back to those lies. But the times I felt closest to God is when I can be honest with God, with my true heart and my true emotions. Whatever you're going through, talk to God. I want you to stop and think for a second. And I want you to say, what is it that you've told God I'm not praying to you about this because you haven't answered my prayer. I'm not talking to you about this. Whatever that is in your life, I want you to learn from this widow and say, God, I don't understand why you haven't granted my prayer request. I don't understand why you haven't given me what I wanted, but I trust in you, God. I trust in you to take care of this situation in your timing and in your ways. And so I want to remind you this morning that we should pray continually and never give up. That praying is perfect for every situation, and prayer reveals our motives and our faith. Communication is the most important thing you can do in any relationship. And so ask yourself, if prayer is the one way that I talk to God, why am I not doing it? The answer is, you don't see the value in it. And my hope this morning is you see that prayer really does matter. Prayer does not change God. It changes you. That direct communication with God changes you forever, no matter how big that prayer is or how small that prayer is. And so let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father God, as we look at this story of this persistent widow, we could see how futile it would seem like. But God, we serve a God who is good and who is awesome and who loves us unconditionally. And so my prayer this morning is that we would be a church that would seek you continuously, that we would be a church that would go to prayer first. I believe, God, if we become a church that's like that, that we will, in some ways, revolutionize this area, that we will make such an impact that people around can only say that it would come, that this change has come because of you, God. And I pray that that would be so, not just in my own life, but in everyone's life here. I pray that we would be a church that seeks you first. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.